Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got a lot to share with you. We're trying to reach our guest, Barbara Stanny, today, overcoming under-earning. Her line is busy, so as soon as we're able to get through, we will. But until then, we're going to let you know that our telephone line is open, 877-876-5227. And I've got a lot of wonderful things to share with you. I came across a quote that I thought was a pretty good one. It says, sometimes a person has to go back, really back, to have a sense and understanding of all that's gone to make them before they can go forward. And Paula Marshall is the person that made that statement. And I thought to myself, this is really something to think about, because many times we'll hit bumps in the road. Maybe they're more like dips, and we feel like our engines have been turned off and we are just sort of in that blah mode and nothing's really happening. And maybe we've had conversations with people and we're not feeling very, very successful, and we're not feeling as if things are going to really finally move for us. Well, I was talking with someone recently that was going through a patterning like that, and they were feeling so badly about their environment, their space. They were getting a little bit depressed. And I thought to myself when I read this today in preparation for the show, this is so significant because we need to remember life is not a straight line. You'll hear me say that so frequently because it's true. We're going to have our ups and downs. But I liked what Paula Marshall said, because she said sometimes we have to go back, way back. We really have to have integrity with ourselves and realize that where we are in a moment hasn't just happened to happen. It's happened because of a number of things that have put us into the positioning that we are, good, bad, or indifferent. And so when we can really dig deep down inside of ourselves and take a good look at who we are and what we have in the way of assets and talents, and realize that strengths or weaknesses we may have at this very moment, they're there for the purpose of our working with them. So what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do? Are you going to sort of stay in that dip in the road and wait for somebody to rescue you? Or are you going to build up your own momentum and say, wait a minute, this is just a dip. I know that this is going to pass. So what do I need to use in the way of resources today? What can I put into action for myself? Mentally, physically, emotionally, or spiritually, what can I do for myself to get myself up and on the road? I'll tell you a little bit. It's sort of a frivolous story, but it's about myself. I remember at one point in my life when I was really down in the dumps. I felt like nothing was really going to happen for me, and I can no more explain my actions than a man on the moon. But one day I got up and I just said, I've got to do something different. I have to do something different that's totally out of my typical routine, my character, my patternings, whatever. I don't know what in the world inspired me to do it. So what I did, and I guess a lot of we gals do the same thing, I went and I got a new haircut. And that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but after I got the new haircut, it was as if, well, I've got a different perspective now. It just sort of gave me a lift, and I was on and about my way in my life, and I took a different slant on things. Now, it may sound a little frivolous, like I said, talking about a haircut, but sometimes that's all we need to do. Sometimes we just need to do something that is different than what we've done. We gals, I know, can maybe paint a different color on our nails, or the guys can go out and get a different haircut themselves, or maybe you just go and take a walk, go to do something in a different way than you've ever done before. Go in a different direction. If you're driving to work, take a different route. But do something to get yourself out of your routine. And it can really make a difference. If going home and watching the news, forget the news. Go and take a walk around the block. Maybe go see a movie or call up your best friend and have a chat. Do something different. Don't necessarily follow your same routine. And you'll find it'll help you to get out of that dip. It'll help you to get forward in your life, do what you want to do, have what you want to have, and really be about the business of living. Again, we're not going to be exempt from that. Just be aware of the fact that you are in control of how you use your mind, how you use your emotions, and you're the one that's the boss. I think it's too easy to get ourselves stuck and put our, gee, I've got a feel-good feeling into somebody else's hands instead of making it our own. And trust me, if you do a shift, you're going to have people that don't expect you to do the shift wondering what you have had. Did you have a triple latte in the morning or something like that? And all it can be is just changing something very small so that your perspective about your life, about where you are, about what you're doing, has a whole different look to it. And going back, reviewing something, sometimes taking some of that quiet time just to do that, to have a sense and understanding that where you are at this moment, you're in charge. No matter what's gone on in the past, you're in charge of today, and you can move forward. This is Donna Sebo, and we're trying to reach my guest today, Barbara Stanley. Her line has been busy, so we've not been able to get through to her, but a telephone line is open if you would like to call at 877-876-5227. Summertime is here, and oh, one of the greatest joys you can ever have is cruising in your automobile and visiting so many wonderful places during the summer months. But there's something that you need to be aware of, and there is an aspect of safety, and that has to do with a cracked windshield. And I came across this information just before I was getting ready to do the show, and I thought, this is some really, really good information. And why this is important, if you have a severely cracked windshield, it is going to affect your vehicle's structural integrity. And why this is important, the windshield keeps the roof of your vehicle from being crushed in a rollover. It also allows airbags, if you have them in your car, to deploy in the correct position, and it prevents passengers from being ejected during a crash. And the windshield provides up to 45% of the structural integrity of the vehicle's cabin in a front-end collision and up to 60% in a rollover. Now, there is an organization, the Auto Glass Replacement Safety Standard Council, and its abbreviation is AGRSS. They said if the windshield is not installed correctly, an airbag can push it out of the car in a crash. And it's very important that if you have a crack in your windshield, you need to really pay attention. And the rule of thumb is it's time to replace your windshield if the crack in your windshield can be covered up by a dollar bill. Usually that can be repaired, so have it fixed. If it is bigger than that, then what you want to do is repair the whole thing. And let's see, they said here, how urgent is a repair? Well, again, it depends on the size and also the location. Any damage within the driver's line of vision is considered a safety hazard and could result in a traffic citation. And cracks that run to the edge of the glass should be fixed quickly because moisture can seep in and cause rusting. And any small chip or crack can usually worsen over time. I know up here in the Pacific Northwest, gracious, you can go over the freeway and you have rocks that flip up and go into your windshield. And, of course, it's safety glass. But all it has to do is hit a certain way, and, boy, you'll have a real nice crack that'll just start rippling across the front of your windshield. So you want to make sure that if you're going to have your windshield replaced, if you know that it needs to be fixed, that you use a good auto glass repair shop. And the Auto Glass Replacement Safety Standards Council, if there is a seal there, they say that assures you that they are competent repair people. And if you have comprehensive coverage, and the crack is less than 6 inches long, a lot of insurance companies will cover the cost of the repair and waive the deductible. So you need to check your insurance policy before having it done. I know both my husband and myself had to have work done on our windshields, and then we found that it didn't hold after a while, and so we had to have the whole windshield replaced. We did have a deductible, but it was worth it to us. And I know in my car, the windshield is really, really big, so we didn't want to take a chance, especially with the variables that you can encounter. And you don't want that crack. Again, you don't want a crack in your field of vision. It really can be a negative thing when you're driving. Also, You're not going to be able to do a whole bunch about the increasing cost of gasoline, so you want to be sure that you have your budget prepared for that. I was on the phone just a couple of hours ago with a friend of mine that went to Las Vegas. They drove, and they said they had problems with their car, and they said, wow, we should have flown and rented a car rather than driving the whole distance because of the cost of gasoline. We really didn't save any money by driving, and it took so much more time. So anyway, there apparently are fuel cost calculators people can get now. And to use it, all you do is enter your starting city, destination, and a vehicle information from drop-down menus that are in these calculators, and it'll give you the miles, an estimate of the amount of gasoline needed for your trip, and its cost. You can also do the same thing, figuring and computing it on your own when you get out a map and you just know how much your car gets, you know, in mileage with your gasoline and compute it accordingly. But that's really a good thing to do, and in that way you won't have any surprises when you travel. But again, I was just talking with someone that had gotten back from a trip to Las Vegas, and they said, we ended up having some car problems. It was 112, and it was just very disappointing, and they had a problem with a chip, their computer chip in their vehicle that had to be replaced. So luckily they were able to get it fixed, and they had just had their car fixed before they left. So it's a good idea. If you're going to be on the road traveling, make sure you have your car checked for safety, put everything up to par. But remember, things still can go wrong on mechanical devices, and when you are driving during the heat of summer, you might want to drive in the cooler hours if possible. Just a few words to share with you regarding traveling. We're trying to reach my guest, Barbara Stanny. And if we're not able to reach her, then it's going to be an open mic afternoon. I've got a lot of good things to share with you today, including a wonderful recipe for a Hawaiian pork and pineapple slaw. When the temps get going up, usually we want to have things that are easy to fix. We don't want to spend a whole bunch of time in the kitchen. If we want to do any cooking, usually it's outside on the grill. Well, this is a salad that's really tasty, easy to fix, and it's not going to take a lot of time. So I'll be sharing that with you in just a moment. Donna Sebo here, and if you want to give me a call, the telephone number, should we be going to open mic, is 877-876-5227. Now, I do want to let you know, because I know we're going to be going on a break in just a moment, I do want to let you know about the people that are going to be coming up next week. As guests, we're going to be talking about a little bit of history on July 3rd. We're going to be talking about the Young Patriots. And don't forget, next week, the Donna Sebo Show is going to be going on at 11 in the morning. So this is Pacific time. Wherever you are in the country, just move your time back to listen to the show to 11 a.m. Pacific time. Charles Cerami is going to be my guest. We are going to be talking about Young Patriots, two young men. They were only in their 30s, and they had a tremendous effect on our Constitution. And there are James Madison and Alexander Hamilton. And both of these people are fascinating individuals. The 4th of July, all of us here at BBS are going to be taking the day off. Music will be played all day long for your listening pleasure, but we are going to be taking a break, just like you are with your families. However, on Wednesday, I'm going to be back at 11 a.m., don't forget in the morning, we're going to be talking with Lisa Newman, Five Simple Steps to a Healthy Pet. And then we're going to be talking on Thursday with Dr. Dorado Brooks. We're going to be talking about colorectal cancer. And then Gil Asakawa, How It Feels to Be a Japanese American. Wonderful material. We've got some wonderful, wonderful people coming up. We're going to take a break. Don't you go away. When we come back, we'll let you know if it's an open mic. If so, all you'll have to do is call in to 877-876-5227. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and this is an hour of Mind Power. Well, we've not been able to get through to Barbara Stanny, so this is now going to be an open mic hour. And no matter where you are in the country or in the world, you'll be able to call in and chat if you would so desire at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, just let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anyone or anything that you desire. Are you afraid to fly? My goodness, I think flying is fabulous. I just absolutely have always loved it. However, apparently about 1 in 3 adults absolutely are terrified when they fly. So many are apprehensive about doing this that they've given it a name, aero anxiety. Now, there was a lady by the name of Angel Miller who had such severe panic attacks anytime she thought she was going to even get on a plane. She knew she had to take care of this, and now she flies across country and just doesn't even think twice about it. What affected her, now this is interesting how our minds work, what affected her was a headline that she saw, and it read this way, "Hundreds killed in an air tragedy." Well, when she read that, it's as if her mind went off onto a real see, hear, feel, experience, empathetic, sympathetic kind of a happening. And she said, I just couldn't get away from this. It just was absolutely awful. Well, she lives in Massachusetts, and she said, I've really got to get over this, because she had a son who was going to college, and he was going to college on the West Coast, and her husband would fly back to see her son, but she was always left at home. She just wouldn't get on a plane. And she said, I just had to get over with it, this. And so she finally determined she was going to get on a plane, but one flight she was on, when she decided finally to go, they were saying, well, something was wrong with the engine, and immediately she started to panic. She goes, oh, no. And she said no matter what she tried, whether they were relaxation tapes, even medications, it didn't work. When her husband wanted to go places, suggested all kinds of fun vacation spots, she'd make all kinds of excuses. She'd always take a train. And she said, this is really getting ridiculous. Well, what happened is that her son, who had been going to college in California, was working there as well. And she said, I'm never going to see my son. If I don't get past this fear of flying, I am in deep trouble. I'm just going to become a prisoner. So she decided she was going to look, research, and do something about it. And she found a website, fearofflying.com, fearofflying.com. And on this website, she found a course. There were 10 cassettes and or DVDs by a former airline pilot who was a licensed therapist to help people get over their fear of flying. Well, she said she got these because she said, I've got to get past this. This is utterly ridiculous. There are more people killed on the freeways than there are in all the airplane accidents that occur. So she said, I've got to remember, I've really got to pay attention to this. So as she was going through these classes in these DVDs, she all of a sudden had a flashback, and she realized that she had never had a fear of flying until after her son was born. And she said, that's what's behind the whole thing. It was the idea that she could not take a chance on not being around for her baby. So she said, here I am as an adult 20 years later. My son's in college. It's going on 21 years, and I'm still suffering from this fear. So she said, okay, let me continue this course. So this course enabled her to understand what went on when the plane was flying, that it had multiple backup systems. There was an electronic field around planes that prevents them from getting too close. And so she was listening to this information that this pilot, Tom Bunn, had put on these DVDs. And she said, that's it. I am not going to let this fear take my space, my peace, my capability of being flexible and doing the things that my husband wants to do, that my son wants to do. So she said, I'm going to book a flight to California. And she did exactly that. And she said, it's absolutely wonderful. She dispelled her fears. She said, now I can go anywhere. I'm totally free, and she flies all over the world at this time. Now, if you are a person that has something like this, again, you might want to check out this website, fearofflying.com. But Captain Bun has an exercise, and maybe you just want to remember this. When you're on the plane, focus on an object in front of you, such as your tray table, and while you're focusing on the tray table, say the words, I see, and name four things in your peripheral vision. For instance, I see a flight attendant. I see the person in the blue coat next to me. I see a window on my right or my left. After you do that, then do an exercise with I hear, and then do an exercise saying I feel, name another four items, and then you will find that you are focusing and you're centering yourself. Now, when you go to fly, which absolutely, I know anything could happen, but I'll tell you what, it's absolutely marvelous when you're on a plane. I just love it, always have. These are the reasons you need to know your flight is safe. Number one, there's always backups for every system. And if the brakes should fail, there's a standby system that kicks in. A sky marshal is on board. I know there are people that I have talked with that say, oh, ever since 911, I don't want to be on a plane. Well, for heaven's sakes. This is something that, we have so many tens of thousands of people that are killed in automobile accidents. Does that stop you from taking a car or driving a car? I don't think so. So we have to keep things in perspective. They have sky marshals, cover armed guards who ride commercial flights, and they're ready at all times. Also, the cockpit is protected, and cockpit doors have been changed to ultra-strong break-in-proof versions. You have an experienced pilot. All captains have at least 2,000 hours of flight experience, and most have 10 or 20 years before they get to be commercial pilots. And there's medical help on board. If there's a doctor on board, everything from a defibrillator for heart attacks to insulin are available for his use. And they say if there's no doctor, we radio our doctor that is on standby from the closest airport. That happened on one of my flights. There was a gentleman that was having a heart attack, and they were able to land. We were flying quite a long distance, I don't recall. I think it was going from Texas into Los Angeles, and they ended up stopping off in New Mexico. And we were able to take that person, drop them off at an airport, and then we were on our way. So they really plan things pretty well. Also, there's a mini air traffic control on board for extra safety. They have their own radar screen on board, so they monitor the sky at the same time as air traffic control is monitoring, which is a very good thing. So I would hope then if you have a concern about flying, if you have a concern about traveling in that way, that you'll do everything you can to be able to make a choice to fly, because it is just absolutely a marvelous experience. And I'll tell you what, you meet some of the neatest people, and you learn some of the most wonderful things from these perfect strangers that maybe in a million years you'd never have another chance to meet. It's a marvelous way to come in contact with new people, learn new things, and maybe even develop new friendships. It's a good thing to do. Like I said, I just absolutely love it. I've been flying for so many years, and I just have such an appreciation for that. This is Donna Sebo. We have an open mic this afternoon. My guest, we've not been able to get through to her phone line. Her phone line has been busy, so obviously an emergency came up. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Telephone number, toll-free, is 877-876-5227. And by the way, I want to announce, for those of you who are listening from the state of Washington, we have a community station, East West Radio, 1700 AM, that has picked up the show and is playing it regularly every morning at 11 a.m., and I will now be live on that station since my show time is changing to 11 a.m. You'll be able to hear me live Monday through Friday on that station as well as here on BBS. So be sure you tell your friends. Also, my email newsletter is going to be going out, and if you'd like to receive your free copy, then all you will need to do is email me at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And we'll be sure that you get your free copy. Otherwise, all you have to do is go into my website. And probably because this is a holiday weekend, my webmaster will not be able to get that up and running on my site until maybe Wednesday of next week. So it's going to be going out this weekend, the July newsletter, and you'll be able to get it probably by next Wednesday. And just go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, and it'll be just fine. Well, I said I had a fabulous recipe for you, and I do. This is a delicious summer salad that cannot go wrong. Just about anybody would like it. It's called Hawaiian pork and pineapple slaw. Now, this is something you can make with regular coleslaw, or you can use fresh-cut broccoli slaw from your local produce department, or you can make your own. You need about 24 ounces of it. Now, this is what the recipe is. You're going to need 3 tablespoons of Dijon mustard, 3 tablespoons of Dijon mustard, 2/3 of a cup of bottled Italian vinaigrette salad dressing, 2/3 of a cup of Italian vinaigrette, 3/4 of a teaspoon of garlic powder, and also 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt. That's 3/4 of garlic powder and salt, and then 1/2 a teaspoon of pepper, 3 boneless pork chops, about 3/4 of an inch thick, about 1/2 pound each, and then you have your 24 ounces of your fresh-cut broccoli slaw or freshly grated coleslaw, and 1 can, 20 ounces of pineapple chunks, and you want to drain those in 1/3 of a cup of raisins. Now, what you want to do, you want to take and stir your mustard into that salad dressing, put that to the side in a plastic food storage bag, combine 1 tablespoon of the dressing mixture with your garlic powder, your salt, your pepper, add your chops, toss them to coat them in the mixture, and then, this is great grilled, you can also broil them, brush them with 1/2 tablespoon of the dressing mixture, grill for about 10 minutes, turn, brush them again with 1/2 tablespoon of the dressing mixture, grill until it's cooked, and it may take about 10 minutes, let it stand for about 10 minutes, and then cut it into very thin slices. Toss the remaining ingredients with your remaining dressing mixture and transfer it to your serving platter. Top with your thinly sliced pork slices, Hawaiian pork and pineapple slaw. Good stuff. Okay, this is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for just a couple of moments. When we come back, have a wonderful story about a bamboo, a deer, and, another, how about a frying pan? Something special that you would never imagine that could make a difference in someone's life. We'll be back in just a minute. Donna Sebo, don't you go away. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. We have an open mic hour. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be glad to light up your life with a little bit of insight. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Have you ever had a serendipitous experience? Coincidences. Well, Barbara had a marvelous experience. Barbara Wilson is her name. She's from Oklahoma. And she was looking at her new kitchen. Her remodeling was finally finished, but she had a lot to do yet, especially with the decorating. She had 35 feet of countertop. That's a lot of countertop. And she said it was just bare bone, and it was, she said, I just didn't know what I was going to do with this remodeling. Everything looked so wonderful, but with my old kitchen, I had easily filled about 9 feet with a set of pink canisters that matched the curtains I'd put up. She said, now everything had changed. My kitchen was just absolutely wonderful, and I wanted to have a blue and white theme. However, all of our money was gone. Didn't have any money. So it was going to have to wait, my decorating desires. So whenever someone would come over to visit, we'd sit at a table for a cup of tea and chat, and every single time somebody came over, well, when are you going to decorate the place? What are you going to do? So her response always was, well, one of these days, I have a blue and white theme in mind, but I just haven't found the right thing just yet. And of course, she'd then say to herself, I can't afford it. When I can afford it, then I'll be able to get something done. Well, one day, she went into her big walk-in closet in another section of her home, and this was her meditation spot. This is where she would just sit and commune with the universe, so to speak. And she said, you know what? I need something now. I don't know how I'm going to get it. I don't know what avenue is going to open up for me, but I need it now. Thank you very much. Now, it was May, springtime, and she was feeling very embarrassed. She had a full house of people that were going to be arriving, and it was a big celebration day. And she said, and then not only that, but my birthday was going to be coming up after this special celebration day, and everything looked so fair. Well, she said, I happened to open up a card from my sister, which she put a little bit of money in it for me for my birthday, and it was sent out to me ahead of time, and the phone rang, and it was a very good friend. And her friend said, I'm over here at a garage sale. Do you have any friends like that that'll call you up when they find a deal? Well, that's what she had. She had a friend that called her up and said, I'm at a garage sale, and I found the perfect blue and white dishes for you for next to nothing. Well, she wasn't in a position to leave because she had people at her home. So she said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask this lady, since you can't leave, you're busy, I'm going to ask her if she'll hold these dishes for you. So she said, great. Well, finally came along, a particular Monday evening, she was able to go over, armed with her birthday money, and she went in to see the dishes. She was astonished. These dishes were absolutely perfect in every way, the color, the sizes of them, everything. She said, if I'd had any doubts, they vanished when I flipped over one of the platters and I looked at the back of them. And her neighbor, when she found out that she had gotten all of these blue plates, she came over after she had put them all up. They were part of her decorating scheme. She said, oh, this looks fabulous. They just make your kitchen. The plates are absolutely wonderful. I'm so glad I called you. And she said, well, those plates were mine. And her neighbor said, what do you mean, Barbara? What do you mean they were yours? So she took one of the platters that she had hung on the wall, took it off of the hanger she had it on, turned it over, and showed her. On the back of the platter, there was a name. It said Barbara Wilson. I'm not making this up. This really happened to her. So you just never know how the universe is going to answer your request. You may get it in a way you could never, ever have dreamed of in a million, million years. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 877-8765. 227. That's 877-876-5227 if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of psychic insight. Now, I have a couple of items that I'd like to share with you. One of them I feel is especially significant. It's about organizing health records. And so many times, if you're like me, you may not always keep things exactly in the same place. And health records, you know, if you've had members of family that have had allergies, or you have information on your kids, or, you know, another member of your family, and you really want to keep things organized, you can create a free electronic medical record at iHealthRecord.org, iHealthRecord.org. You can enter your medical history, emergency contacts, medicine, allergies, anything that you need to put information down into the system about. That way, if you switch your providers, your new doctor can access the information, or you can print it, easing a paper trail. And sometimes you have special tests that have special results, and I think you probably can scan it in as well. You know, certain things that instead of typing all the information in, you might be able to just scan it in. Also, there is another software product, Quicken Medical Expense Manager. Tells you how much you're spending on your medical expenses, so you can figure out which plan you can afford and what services you need covered. And you can also use it to determine if expenses qualify for a tax deduction, and keeping track of bills and noting insured disputes and all kinds of things. And so many of you might need something like that. So those are two options that you might want to consider. Also, what I wanted to share with you, we hear so much about kids being obese. More and more kids having weight problems. Well, a lot of that is due to the fact that kids anymore don't do very much walking. I was chatting with a lady who was in her 80s, and she was talking about how when she was growing up, it was not unusual for the kids to walk 3 or 4 miles to school and back home. And she said, we always had chores to do when we got home. She was raised on a farm, so she said, none of us ever had a problem being fat. And she said, I'm really surprised. Today, kids don't walk anywhere. They really don't go anywhere. And I had another friend, when she heard about the conversation that I was having, she said, oh, let me tell you this. A lot of parents, they will not let their children even walk from the bus stop. They're sitting at the bus stops waiting for them, and they drive them home. So the kids are just sitting around, and when they get home, They're not going out for sports necessarily. They're not that active. And so consequently, they're not moving. Well, apparently, there is a special program that's coming up that is really going to be very special, and it is occurring on September the 28th. It's called America on the Move Day of Action, and it's a 2,000-step walk or whatever you want it to be. And 8-year-old Becky Parsons of Apex, North Carolina, she walks to school with her mom once a month, and on the way, she's joining other kids and moms, and it's part of the walking school bus, a safe, healthy way for kids to get to school. Wow, this is a good thing, for heaven's sakes. It was normal when I was growing up. It was no big deal. But I think it's really a positive move for moms and dads to walk with their kids to school and then walk back home. Trust me, after a certain age, they're not going to want you to walk with them. You may have to be 2 blocks back. It's just the way it is with kids as they get older. And walking is probably the most underappreciated physical activity. This is a statement by Dr. Robert Holmberg of the American Academy of Pediatrics. He says it's effective and easy, and you can organize a program in your own town. Now, I've got a website here that you can go visit if you'd like to do it, but I don't know that this is necessary. I'm going to give it out anyhow. But understand, walking's a good thing. We need to get past, I think, some of this paranoia that we have about letting our kids walk to and from school. Gracious. Trust them in the sense that they can have the common sense to do what they need to do. And you can give them good training as far as safety factors go. But most of the time, when kids do stuff like that, they often have their buddies that they walk with. And this is very good. So here's the website. If you want to organize a walking with moms, part of the walking school bus program that some other towns are adopting, this is where you go. You go to www.cdc.gov/nccdphp/dnpa/kidswalk. I told you it was a long one. Okay, let me give it out again. www.cdc.gov/nccdphp/dnpa/kidswalk. I think it is so important that kids be out there doing the activities, doing the walking and the exercising. It's really, really great, and it makes them feel so much better, and it actually perks them up. You know, when you are out and about, they're going to feel a lot better, and then you won't have to worry so much about them having a weight problem because they're going to be busy. They're going to be active. Their metabolisms are going 10,000 miles an hour anyway, and they'd be doing what just comes naturally. One tip I'd give, though, especially with kids, because kids like to use their backpacks, you need to be sure that those backpacks are adjusted correctly so it doesn't affect their posture. And there are things that can be done to make sure that the weight is distributed properly in those backpacks so that they're not going to be having problems with their necks and with their backs. So it's just a good thing to check it out, make sure the straps are nice and tight and that they're going to be distributed weight-wise in the right positioning on them so that they'll be comfortable. I think the backpacks are great. I used to remember, you know, having to carry in my arms my books and, you know, satchels just were very cumbersome and they were very uncomfortable. So backpacks are really a good thing, I think. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. What we've got coming up, and my guest, Barbara Stanny, weren't able to get through to her telephone line. Her line has been consistently busy, so we will just have to perhaps schedule another time. Meanwhile, coming up, we've got some wonderful people, and we'll give you some information on that. The Young Patriots on Monday, and don't forget, the Donna Sebo Show is coming on at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, so you don't want to miss that. Young Patriots, Charles Cerami is going to be my guest. Also, we are going to be taking the day off on the 4th of July. You're going to be hearing music on bbsradio.com. This is a holiday, and we're all going to be off with our friends and family. We're going to be talking about animals, colorectal cancer, and what it's like being a Japanese American. So we've got some interesting subjects next week. Don't want you to miss any of it. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a moment. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you about the secret of the frying pan, or maybe bamboo. Mm-hmm. And it's not the bamboo that grows out in your yard either. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. Have you ever known someone that was very stubborn? So stubborn that they weren't open to new ideas under any circumstances, had attitudes, their lives really were miserable, and they just kept wallowing in that misery? Well, Byron Davenport is a man that was very well known for being hard-headed, hard-hearted, stubborn, you name it. People just figured this guy was never, ever going to change. Well, life has a way sometimes of being able to wake us up and give us a kick in our mental tushes that emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually really bring us back to where we're supposed to be. And that was the case with Byron. He lived in this big house in Athens, Georgia, and he said it was fenced. It was just him, and he had a wonderful little spaniel called Levi. Boy, that was just the way he wanted his life. He said he just didn't care for people. He just wanted to be left alone. He had been married twice, had a couple of kids, but both of the women had left him because he wasn't a pleasant person to be around. Well, his mother happened to live down the road from him, and she always loved him. Aren't mothers funny that way? And he said it was a few years ago that his life was turned around by a particular incident. And this incident occurred when he was driving his truck, and he was passing by a particular community, and he suddenly had to slam on the brakes because there in the roadway was a doe and her fawn. Well, smashes into the doe, and he kills her. And he said the animal was dead on impact because of the speed that he was going. But there was this little, scrawny fawn that was standing on shaky legs just looking right at him. And he said he felt this emotion in his chest. He said, I felt kind of like the way it does when a fish grabs your fishing line after a long day of no bites. He said he had not felt anything like that inside himself for a long time, and he didn't want any part of it. And he said the fawn didn't take its eyes off of him. And he just was thinking to himself, I didn't kill your mother. And he just took off. However, he looked up, and in the rearview mirror, that fawn was standing exactly in the same spot in the road, didn't move, just stood there. Well, he went all the way home, couldn't get the picture of the fawn out of his mind. After about an hour, he couldn't stand himself. He got into his truck, went back to the spot, and he said, I really felt stupid doing this. He said, I'm the type of the guy. He said, I hunt deer. I don't rescue them. And but he said, you know what? That little fawn was there, standing in the road exactly where I'd left him, almost like he'd been waiting for me. He said, so I turned off my ignition and got out of my truck, and the fawn hesitated before taking a step towards me, and for some reason I stuck out my hand, palm up, and that baby fawn took another step and laid his head right in my hand. And he said, that weird feeling in my chest came back. He said, without thinking, I bent over, scooped the fawn up, and he said he couldn't have weighed more than 4 or 5 pounds. And he said a name all of a sudden popped into my head, but he couldn't say it. He said he couldn't say it until the fawn met his dog. And Levi, when he got back to his home, he introduced the fawn to Levi, and he called him Bamboo, B-A-M-B-O. Well, Levi just adopted this little fawn immediately, and that was it. He knew Bamboo was going to be at his house. So guess what he did? This man that had no heart, that supposedly hard-hearted and hard-headed, guess what he did? He set up a king-size mattress and a pillow in one of his empty bedrooms. And he laid Bamboo right down in the middle of that. And Bamboo just folded up his little tiny legs, pulled himself into a circle, and then he managed to find, this fellow did, he managed to find an old baby bottle and got some milk and started feeding Bamboo. Well, he found that Bamboo not only liked milk, he liked Lucky Charms and apples and oatmeal pie and peppermint candy, but he said his favorite thing of all was a chocolate Yoo-Hoo. So anyway, they had a routine. Levi would curl up on the bed next to Bamboo each night. He said, I'd leave a snack, Byron would, and say goodnight. Sometimes Bamboo got up in the middle of the night for the snack, or he'd go into Byron's room and chew on his hair until he woke up. And then he'd take him out back and stay on the porch with the light on until Bamboo found his favorite tree. You don't think animals aren't intelligent? I've had some people tell me they don't think animals are very smart. I'm sorry. This is just a little fawn now. Just think of this. Now, Bamboo grew, as fawns do, very quickly. He grew antlers and put on more than 100 pounds the first year that Byron had him. But he was very gentle and very loving, and he'd let him roam around the property. The guy had 10 acres, fenced acres, so that was great. However, it was right adjacent to an elementary school, and the kids absolutely loved Bamboo. But the school officials said that because Bamboo was getting so big, they were concerned that there might be some kind of a confrontation with the children. So they said he needs to be let out into the wild. So he contacted some people at the White-tailed Deer Research Facility at the University of Georgia, and they told him where they could take him and where he would be safe out into the wild. And so that's what he ended up doing. Levi missed him terribly. However, what happened was when he let Bamboo go, he realized that this animal had come into his life to teach him the lesson of love, to teach him the lesson that there was a lot of love that he had inside of himself to share with others, and also he could let love into his life because he had space for it, a lot of space for it. And he said he still visits Bamboo out in the wild and brings along peppermint as a treat. He said he's doing fine in his old home, and he said, I sure am doing a lot better in my life, all because of this little fawn in the middle of a road that waited for me to come back and get him. I thought that would be a wonderful way to end this Friday program. Love does have a way of finding its home in someone's heart, even if they are hard-headed, hard-hearted, like Byron was. He's not that way anymore. It comes in some of the most unusual ways. This is Donna Sebo. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, have an utterly fabulous, fabulous day and a wonderfully safe and enjoyable weekend. And don't forget, the Donna Sebo Show will be on at 11 in the morning, starting this coming Monday, July the 3rd. And I look forward to sharing that time with you, 11 to noon. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Enjoy. Be safe. Be well. Talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.